Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hi, my name is Robert Lamb, and this is The Monster Fact, a short-form series from Stuff to Blow Your Mind focusing in on mythical creatures, ideas, and monsters in time. And the gods, givers of good things, applauded when they heard his word, and their spirit longed for war even more than before. And they all, both male and female, stirred up hated battle that day. The Titan gods and all that were born of Kronos together with those dread mighty ones of overwhelming strength whom Zeus brought up to the light from Erebus beneath the earth. 100 arms sprang from the shoulders of all alike, and each had 50 heads growing upon his shoulders upon stout limbs. These then stood against the Titans in grim strife, holding huge rocks in their strong hands. These are the words of Hesiod from his 8th century BCE text, Theogony, here in translation by Evelyn White, describing the hundred-handed warriors, the hecatoncheires of Greek mythology. Naturally, the poet Hesiod compiled various tellings and traditions in his poetry, and in doing so, solidified a number of characters, relationships, and tales concerning the Greek pantheon of deities. So what we read here is effectively the most popular understanding of the hecatoncheires. They were a very ancient race of multi-headed and multi-handed giants, and they stood among the various children of the primordial sky god Uranos. But Uranos hated these monstrosities from the first and imprisoned them, locking them away out of sight. Eventually, Uranos's offspring Kronos rises against his father, overthrows him, but seemingly keeps these earlier unsightly offspring locked away. It is not until Zeus, the child of Kronos, rises up with his fellow Olympian gods, rebels against the Titans, they free and recruit the hecatoncheires, as well as their kin, the Cyclopses, into their ensuing war for control of the cosmos. This was the Titanomachy, and Hesiod describes their role in its battles, naming the three most prominent of the hundred-handed warriors in surviving traditions. And amongst the foremost, Cotys and Briareos and Gyes, insatiate for war, raised fierce fighting. 300 rocks, one upon another, they launched from their strong hands and overshadowed the Titans with their missiles, and buried them beneath the wide-pathed earth, and bound them in bitter chains when they had conquered them by their strength for all their great spirit as far beneath the earth to Tartarus. The hecatoncheires, according to Hesiod, are much more than allies of the gods in their war against the Titans. The hecatoncheires strike the final blow. They chain the Titans. They become the wardens of the Titans and are, quite ironically, imprisoned once more in the process. Now, it should be noted that in some traditions, the hecatoncheires may have fought instead on the side of the Titans. And in some compilations, such as Brewer's Dictionary of Phrase and Fable, the authors go so far as to describe individuals, specifically Briareos, as a Titan, so it gets a bit confusing at times. And I suppose that's how I have always felt about the hecatoncheires since I was a child and read about them in various books, somewhat confused, because the morphologies of so many other Greek monsters are just so well defined. There's so many illustrations of them, and as a child you can draw them, you can roughly sketch them yourself, and it's a lot of fun. But the hecatoncheires always seem to defy logic. Their name feels more like a literary concept, describing a force of nature, as opposed to a codified creature, and indeed, this is often how they are interpreted. They are difficult to envision or to reproduce visually, and certainly there are plenty of contemporary artists who have had a lot of fun producing various surreal and just horrifying interpretations of the hecatoncheires, but one is generally hard-pressed to find representations of these creatures in art history. Now, I invite correction on this front because I would very much love to see such images, to see like classical illustrations, medieval illustrations, and so forth of the Hecatoncheires, but my searches have generally come up, well, empty-handed. Perhaps we've simply lost ancient Greek depictions of these creatures. I can only assume that they were too far removed from actual human physiology to interest many sculptors. You know, I mean, if you're interested in capturing the reality of the human form, even in the telling of stories and the presentation of information about deities, then this might not be your first stop, right? Perhaps they were creatures best left for depiction in the ages of surrealism and cosmic horror to come. Indeed, outside of their role in the struggle against the Titans, little seems to have survived about the Hecatoncheires in general, aside from some tangents concerning Briareus. Again, the Hecatoncheires are perhaps best interpreted as embodiments of natural forces. Given their 100 hands and heads, they are like armies of men compiled into a single great entity, like a storm or earthquake with the power of an army. As such, turning to the natural world of biology, our best example of hundred-headed entities are actually large groups working together, such as humans or eusocial insects. Now, some of you out there might be thinking to yourself, well, I know what has 100 appendages. Well, even centipedes, despite their name, which means 100-footed, never have exactly 100 limbs. They may have as few as something like 23 leg-bearing segments, or as many as, I think, 191, but there is always an odd number of leg-bearing segments, never the even 50 segments that would produce a total of 100 legs. By the way, the first millipede with more than 1,000 legs wasn't discovered till 2021. Now, despite this disappointment, scientists have found room to invoke the Hecatoncheires in the naming of various organisms. Specifically, the name Briareus is invoked in the scientific name for various organisms, including, but not limited to, the Caribbean reef octopus, the hairy sea cucumber, at least one species of sea star, the corky sea finger coral, a sea slug, an extinct trilobite, and a Central American moth. As for their mythic namesake, the Hecatoncheires, well, maybe we should heed the words of Hesiod once more. Perhaps we lack for older depictions of the creature because they are not to be approached, they are not to be looked upon. Even Uranus chose not to do so. And he used to hide them all away in a secret place of earth so soon as each was born, and would not suffer them to come up into the light, and heaven rejoiced in his evil doing, but vast earth groaned within. Tune in for additional episodes of The Monster Fact, The Artifact, or Animalia Stupendium each week. As always, you can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.